do you read that? Someone came to Jesus to ask for healing, and he says, your faith has made you well. Or let it be done to you according to your faith. Or because of your faith, this has happened to you. And so Jesus uses the miracles as a spotlight on people's faith, and he does that a lot. But here it's very, very different. Even the miracle in the verses before are a comment on faith, but not this one. Nothing is said here about faith at all. I love doing this. By the way, when you're reading the Bible, this is not in the notes, Belinda, sorry, I'm just taking a side here. Comparing, asking the questions, why is this different? What is different about this? Why? And look with a, just don't read just the words, look and search for meaning within them. Because nothing at all here is said about her faith. He didn't respond to her faith. He didn't even call her to have faith. It was simply a miracle of compassion, that's all. A great miracle too. Jesus was just traveling through. This woman was not his responsibility. She probably wasn't part of the agenda for that day. But for a moment, just a moment in time, Jesus put himself in her shoes. And he took time, like we did just a moment ago, to see the world through her eyes. He felt her pain. He understood a situation and he was moved by compassion. And I want us to think about that word, compassion. Compassion. It is a heart thing. It is an emotional thing. It grips that part of us inside that moves us to action. Don't let anyone tell you that Jesus was not emotional. He was overflowing with compassion. It gripped him. And on this occasion, Jesus was guided by his compassion. Jesus was led by his feelings. Compassion wasn't that he just felt sorry for her, but that he saw how difficult her life would be, and he chose not to stand by and ignore her plight. And I want to tell you that this is the heart at the foundation of mission. All mission at its heart has the belief that I cannot stand by and ignore this situation that is happening. And all mission is driven by that. We know that the gospel can change people's lives for the better. At the very least, we know the gospel can save someone from an eternity in hell. And I don't think that you will ever really be able to evangelize effectively without some compassion in your heart for the plight of people that don't know God. And if you do have compassion and you understand what a life without God actually means, and you truly know the eternal future of those who die without God, then I doubt you will be able to ignore evangelism. I think we need to develop a heart for the lost. Now, in this case, Jesus had the means to change the course of this woman's life. He could give life back to her son and move with compassion. He did just that. Verse 14. Then he walked over to the coffin. Pardon me. And he touched it, and the bearers stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, a mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited us, his people today. And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. This is an amazing miracle, the raising of the dead. And the Bible tells us that they were carrying him through the street. Now, coffin is probably not the exact word. That's the word we understand. The real word is a bier. A bier is just like a frame. like a lattice frame that the bearers would have been carrying with the body on it. And Jesus comes up and he puts his hand on the frame as if to halt the procession. He didn't touch the dead body. Jews aren't allowed to do that. He just spoke. And the boy came alive. An amazing miracle of resurrection. Yet seems so random in its nature. Such a great miracle in such a random setting. I mean, you look at the other resurrection miracles that Jesus does. Lazarus is sick and Jesus hears it. And then he passes away, and so Jesus purposefully makes his way to Bethany. By the time he gets there, he's in the tomb, if you remember the story. And the synagogue ruler, Jairus, the daughter's sick, and Jairus comes to get him, and he follows Jairus. And along the way, they send messages saying, your daughter's dead. And Jesus says, don't worry, just believe. And he follows him with intent to come and raise this girl from the dead. But here, it's just a random occurrence. Jesus was just passing through. And this great miracle, one of very few resurrections, was performed on an unknown person simply out of compassion. He had the means to help, and he did. This is the same as our missionary call. Now, we might not go around raising dead people everywhere, but we do have the gospel that can bring eternal life to people. People without Jesus will suffer a horrible eternity, and we have an answer to that. We can save lives. In a sense, resurrect people from the dead for eternity. We can rescue them. Witnessing to people about Jesus comes out of a compassion of understanding what their future is going to be without Jesus. Basically, people need Jesus. And that truth stares us in the face every day. We leave home, we go to work, or we go to the shops, and we are surrounded by people that need Jesus. They need hope. They need to know that God loves them. And without someone witnessing to them about God, nothing in their life will change. This is what is behind the call of missionaries. They see the need of people. I knew Tim and Mel when they were young, and some of you knew them when they were young as well. And I remember they were at my church in Innisfail, and I can remember their first trip overseas. It was a holiday. And they stopped by in Malawi. And I remember him coming back. And he was talking about the sad story of these people and how they didn't know God. And I remember him saying, I don't think I can stay in Australia while those people have no one to tell them. That's the heart call of a missionary. I cannot stay here and build houses and make money while those people are over there dying without Jesus. That is the heart of a missionary. I want us to now hear from Tim and Mel's son, Clayton. We've got from Baptist Mission Australia a short video clip, and you can hear it from his point of view.
Crossing the street is just about being a normal person, living your life for Jesus next to others. I always wanted to look the same as everyone else, but I don't. I have made a lot of friends who I care about, and we focus on what we have in common. Hi, I'm Clayton, and I live in Malawi, Africa. I arrived here when I was 2 years old with my family because we were called by God to share the good news with the Yao. The Yao are a people group who, struggling with poverty, live under Islam and traditional African religion. And their lives look very different to our lives here in Australia. We are different but belong to the community because of the relationships we have. Crossing the street means taking time to understand someone, having fun together, being a friend, and making your faith real.
I think it's encouraging to hear just the fact that he, as the son of missionaries, feels that he is part of this missionary journey. But we are all missionaries. We're all missionaries because we are all surrounded by people that need Jesus. Now, just because the people around us that need Jesus look like us and speak the same language that we do, mostly, doesn't mean that we are not missionaries. And so there are needs right in front of us that we can respond to in different ways, just like that story of the Good Samaritan. We can respond to this need by either, well, one of three ways. We can block people out. So we can, in our minds, say we just don't want to know what the needs are. This is not too hard to do. You just have to be absorbed in your own stuff. You have to focus on your own thing, be self-absorbed. God then becomes all about me and my needs. My prayers are filled then with what I want and what I need and what's important to me. And the missionaries do good work, so I'll applaud them, but I'll just concentrate on what God can do for me. It's what I call consumer religion. Or secondly, we can be aware of the needs around us of people, but turn away. Usually this is a fear thing. If I let my compassion go out to this person or these people, it'll cost me something. It'll affect me in some way. It'll make me feel uncomfortable. What if they take advantage of me? What if I make a mistake and make everything worse? What if they reject me? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I can't care about everybody. And so we're aware of the need and it bothers us, but there's nothing we can really do, and so we turn away from the need. We cross over the other side of the street and walk past. The third thing we can do is let our heart go out and look for ways to communicate the love of Jesus in a way that makes sense to them. And that is the heart of a missionary. It is God's heart. It is Jesus' heart. God is not calling you to worry about everyone. It's not your job to worry about the whole world. But who has God put in front of you? And that's what's really important. Who comes across your path? It could be an everyday relationship thing like family, neighbours, work colleagues, or it could be just like this story that we have in front of us today, just a stranger that we happened to talk to. And this week's challenge is very much the same as the last week's challenge, to step out, to step away from our comfort, cross the street, and pay attention to who God has put in front of you. Every week, people will cross your path that have needs. Pay attention. Maybe that ought to be the subject of our prayer in the morning. If you get up in the morning and the first thing you do is you pray to God, maybe you can just say that. God, help me to be alert to the people that you put in front of me today. To take your concentration outside of your own needs for just a minute. And as you do that, as you look to pay attention to the people in front of you, you will see the world through their eyes. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. To imagine their life without Jesus and the difference that can be made if we just speak, if we just let them know. Remember that you have what they need. Doesn't have to be scary. You're just meeting their need. Let me tell you a story of something that happened to me this week. Not a frontline story, so that's why I didn't send it through. But I was getting a key cut, I think it was last week. And I was at the key cutting place that cut keys and getting my key cut. And I was paying for the key and I kept dropping it. There's two reasons why I drop keys. One is I don't have fingerprints. The other is I have bad arthritis. Anyway, so I dropped this key three times and a got a bit embarrassed about it. So I explained to the lady on the other side of the counter, oh, I've got arthritis, see? And I showed her my crooked knuckles. And she said, yeah, I have arthritis too. And she showed me her crooked knuckles. And I said, that's terrible for you to have arthritis with your job, because like she's got to grip little machines and things. Oh, I felt compassion for her. I said, that would be terrible to have arthritis. I said, do you take medication? She goes, no. I said, I'll tell you what, I saw a rheumatologist and they gave me this medication and it's fantastic and it really stopped all of the deforming of my knuckles and I don't have any pain anymore. I said, you should see a rheumatologist. Now, that woman had a need and I had no problem, no hesitation, no embarrassment at all telling her that I had found the answer to the need she has. How come we feel so nervous doing that about Jesus? It's not a frontline story. I didn't witness to this woman. But if I did witness to her, wouldn't it just be the same? Hey, look, this is something that has worked for me, and I've discovered it to be true, and a lot of people have. Why don't you give it a try? I love that frontline story you said. You know, I don't think you are a Christian. You need to read the New Testament. And it was very bold, and you know, there's a context there, and there's a friendship, and all of that, right? You got to be yourself, but maybe just those words. You know, I've heard people say before, you know, someone says, oh, I'll go to heaven. And they say, you sure about that? Have you read the New Testament? No. Maybe you should. Maybe that's all we need to do. Not go around saying, you're going to hell, come here and I'll tell you how to save yourself from it. That could be appropriate. All I'm saying is that we have the answer to the need of people and we oughtn't be embarrassed or hesitant sharing the need naturally when the conversation goes that way. Last week we were talking about how to make the conversation go that way. But when the conversation goes that way, just share. Let your heart go out to them. Who will God put in front of you this week where all you have to do is just tell them what you've discovered? Surely it's not that hard if we have a heart of compassion. Let us pick up the heart of Jesus. Let's look for opportunities to minister to people around us. I'm going to pray for us that we can do that really well this week. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that in our culture, talking about faith tends to be something we feel awkward about. But Lord, you have the words of eternal life and you have given to us the message of eternal salvation. And so, Lord, whether we feel uncomfortable or a bit afraid, our compassion drives us. Fill our heart with compassion for those that don't know you. Lord, let us feel the anguish of what their life will be if they never learn about you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to find ways of having these conversations in a way that's natural to our own personality and to the situation. Bring about these encounters so that we can speak simply about the message of Jesus, letting people know that they do not have to fear death, letting people know that there is an eternal life, letting people know that the Lord Jesus is the answer to it. Lord, for all of those who are currently in a conversation with friends about Jesus, those who are reading the Bible with their friends, those who are praying, I pray that you would empower that. Lord, that there will be a spiritual awakening in the lives and the hearts of these people, and that they would ask more questions and respond. I pray, Lord, for a great revival across this region and in our state of Queensland, as the gospel provides the answers for people. I pray that you would grant understanding. I pray the gospel is not lost in all the busyness and complication of the world. And I pray that you would be glorified in it. Make us strong, Lord. Make us bold for the gospel. Let us know the privilege, the honor of leading others into faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.